Well, it's finally here. Boom. All of a sudden, you're there. Lake Chickamauga, the Hopi Bass Open Series. You know, for weeks and weeks and weeks, you sit around thinking about it. You can sit there and you go to the movie with the kids, right? You pay top dollar to go see a movie, you know. The new Top Gun, you know. $200 you spend on dinner, the movie, having fun, some drinks. All you can think about is the Hopi Bass Open Series. Then it's here, and you are there. We're in Lake Chickamauga right now. I'm in Eldridge Slough, and so far there hasn't really been anybody back here, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I was successful yesterday catching some fish. We did locate fish. It feels like the calm before the storm. Literally, the water is just smooth as glass right now. But what I witnessed yesterday was something I've never seen in southwestern Ohio. I mean, you would have thought that this water was sitting on top of a volcano, the way that the water was boiling. It was amazing. I mean, they were just blowing up. They were just hitting the shad like depth charges. I mean, 2 feet from the kayak. Now, the trip down here was great. We drove the Sonata Hybrid Blue. I got down here and just around $20-something in gas, which is amazing in today's day and age. Gas is going through Tennessee, you see it cheaper than really any other place that I've seen it. It's $4.30 now. But to be able to fill up the Sonata for about $50 and get down here on, you know, a little more than a half a tank of gas, I think is pretty incredible. With a kayak in tow and everything I need to have to compete in the Hobie Bass Open Series, I'm really not doing without anything, really. I don't have my electronics, but, you know, I don't do electronics anyway. I have them. It's nice to know water temperatures. It's nice to know the depth, but I don't know. I've got a lot of work to do when it comes to working with the electronics. I got a lot of work to do when it comes to learning how to catch some fish. Important things first. Learn how to catch some fish. So after all this time that I've spent in kayak bass fishing, which has been roughly 7 years or so, I would have to say that it's taken up until about right now for me to really feel confident in the equipment that I'm using and the choices I'm making. Now, all of us, it doesn't matter what kind of an angler you are, good or bad, there is that one nth degree of, I don't know if you really want to call it luck yet. You just happen to be in the right place at the right time. Or the wrong place at the wrong time. Was that the right? Would it be the wrong place at the right time? Because the really good angler was not able to catch any fish due to his decision and choice of where to fish. You're in the wrong place at the... No, it would be wrong time. Definitely not a good time to be there if you're not catching any fish. However, if you're that one angler who just doesn't really know what you're doing, there's a couple of us out there. Might just strike it rich. You just never know. You know, you just might hit the mother load. And I guess that's one of the playing cards that I have in my... stack. But if anything, you know, just such a beautiful weekend that I think we're going to have to do some fishing here. So good luck to everybody here at Lake Chickamauga. Good luck to the tournament directors. AJ, you're doing a bang up job. I walked into that building yesterday, and the way it looked with the background, the backdrops, the Hobie Bass Open Series, the tournament trophies that are out there, everybody wearing their, you know, Hobie Bass Open, you know, team jerseys. I mean, just, it looked good. Pizza, there was more pizza. I think every single kayak angler could have left with a large pizza yesterday. I mean, there was so much pizza. But God bless everybody. Good luck, tight lines. And I hope that here in the next 14 minutes, when lines are first, oh, there's our first surface blow up right there. I just hope that they come in here and just start feeding up. I don't know what to do, but I'm going to do something. Oh, my Lord, be with us. John Graves Kayak Fishing, over and out. This is no doubt my favorite. I feel like I'm the only human in the world right now. And I know there's a lot of anglers out there who feel the same. You just get out on a lake that is just smooth as glass. And you experience that drop in temperature right before the sun comes up. It's just you and a few random parts of wildlife just slowly just like waking up. I'll see a couple deer meandering about on the way here. I smelled a skunk when I got to my launch site. I was like, I don't know about that. Where is this guy? He smelled like it was fresh too. Second day of the Hobie Bass Open series. Unbelievable. Just amazing. I caught some fish yesterday. It was fun. Not the fish that I needed to get me into the top 100. 112 I placed yesterday. But I'll take that. I'll take that just beautiful bass I pulled in. I'd never experienced a wolf pack. It's like an alpha school of females. I think they call them wolf packs. I mean, that's exactly what it looked like. It looked like they were just, you know, just like dolphins or killer whales will round up schools of fish and things, you know. Man, absolutely unbelievable to see that. Just busting the surface. I have to experience something like that as a southwestern Ohio fisherman, to come down here and just see the water boil is absolutely amazing. So I had to make my way about 70 yards or so through the water to get to the dock. Technically, I might be telling on myself here, but technically you should be, you can have your boats in the water, but you can't launch to your site until about 30 minutes prior to lines in. So that gives everybody about 30 minutes, and I like the idea that nobody has a motor. Everybody's kicking it here, man, so... This is when those folks that have those much bigger kayaks, like the, let's say the 360, Hobie Pro Angler 14, it's a massive kayak. It is a heavy kayak. And if you're used to that torpedo motor pushing you around, you've got some work to do. So I went just the opposite with the ultralight Hobie iTrek 9 that just performed amazing yesterday. And I feel going into the second day that I have a lot of strength. You know, these are endurance events to a certain degree, and they can take a toll on you if you, you know, don't have yourself in shape to really make it the distance that you need to go sometimes to get to different spots that you've chosen, or to, you know, if you're in a dead spot, man, you got to get it. And just pushing one of the bigger kayaks manually, you know, for a half mile to a mile, sometimes in current, sometimes in wind, can be, you know, a little tough. So, you know, don't give up on the leg workouts. You know, the moment you put that torpedo motor up on your kayak. But with the ultralight iTrek 9 inflatable. And most of your inflatables probably would have these same talking points. Super light, deflates. I can put it in the back of my Sonata Hybrid. I got everything that I need to come down here and compete in a really good size, really a national kayak event, a big event. You know, one of those events that you just don't want to leave home without it. You know, you'll get down here and go, oh my gosh, I didn't bring it. That's easy to do when you're throwing stuff, packing it in a car. But with the ability to deflate this thing down to a minimal size and then put everything else I need in the back of that Sonata, I got down here on like $22. I think it was around $22 to $27, $28, maybe $30 tops. Getting down here from Cincinnati, Ohio, so over 300 miles driving. I think it's about $315 for us. Well, nobody has showed up at the dock yet. I'm going to get a couple things ready. It's 5:30 right now, which means that we can actually launch out to our sites. I'm going to get the 360 light on here. I had to take everything down. All the rods have to come down out of the low pro crate because in that 70-yard stretch, I have to get here of water. I have to go under a pretty tight bridge, and it's a spooky bridge. The moment I went under the bridge this morning, a hoot out, just loud, like, okay, here we go. Let me get my rods together and all my stuff upright, get my 360 light on, and get as legit, because we don't really have far to go. We're right here. Hopefully the water starts boiling up in about, I'll definitely gonna, this is a morning for top water. That's for sure. You use buzz bait today, boy, it's like throwing in the high school marching band. Playing smoke on the water. I'll be back. Oh my Lord. If they pulled me over for a sobriety check right now and I had to walk a straight line, I'm going to jail. Just prepare my bail. My hamstrings are on fire. I don't even think I can stand up straight. 2 days of fishing the Hobie Bass Open Series. Folks, that is an endurance event. I don't care what you say. I was in a 37-pound kayak. Moving constantly. It's something I had to do because of the wind, pushing that very light watercraft around. You're basically just an inflatable raft. You have no keel. So wherever that water or wind and water wants to take you, it will go in that direction. But I use that to my advantage. I want to share that with you. I had a great Bass Open Series from Hobie. Thank you so much, everybody there at the big H-O-B-I-E. I appreciate it. Wow, the iTrek 9 inflatable just was operated flawlessly. I really do attribute using that kayak to my success, personal success, and really having the best day of fishing I've ever had. Today, I caught more fish than I have all year. It was the best day of bass fishing I think I've ever had in my life. And boy, woke up this morning, 112th place in the Hobie Bass Open Series. And to show you how quickly things can change, literally, I had gone from 112th place to 37th place in a matter of just the first hour and a half. I had my limit by 8 o'clock. Lines ends at 6. So by 8, I'm looking down. I already got my limit, and I'm working on calling that limit already. So that shot me up to into the 30s. And boy, there I stayed for a moment, and then reality kind of set in, and I don't know where I'm at right now because all standings are off, and that's something that they do to keep it exciting. But I definitely the best Hobie event I've ever done in my life, and it was so much fun. Got a lot to share with you. I did catch fish. I was productive in how it happened. I took some of the locals' advice, and by golly, it worked for me. So stay tuned here on John Graves Kayak Fishing, and I'm going to share it all with you guys. And it feels so good to be sitting in the Hybrid Blue right now with the air conditioner running. Oh my gosh. It got warm out there. I'll be right back. It feels so good to be back. Boy, I would love to live in Lake Chickamauga. Oh, man, I saw this guy on the bank of Lake Chickamauga that had this, like, creepy river van. And I was envious. He would swim across the slough to the other side where he had a fire ring and a tent set up for some of his buddies. Actually, I almost hooked him in the back. I wasn't expecting it. I was coming up around the point and I threw it just a long swim bait out and this something hit the water. I had no idea. I thought it was just one of them big top water explosions. And all of a sudden this guy, this like halfway naked guy comes popping up out of the water and starts like freestyle swimming to the other side of the slough. I was like, what the hell? Hooked me a big one there, man. Oh my gosh, Lake Chickamauga, Hobie Bass Open Series, one of the most incredible events ever. If you have the opportunity to fish a Hobie Bass Open Series, which is becoming more increasingly a challenge to enter. They only take 200 anglers. And, you know, a lot of people ask why they only take 200. How come not 300? How come 400? You start to get in the logistics of over 200 anglers, you're really starting to get into a big show. And it takes a lot of grease on those wheels to run right, to make sure that everybody gets what they intended to get when they fish a big tournament like that. I like how AJ and the gang keeps it at 200. That way they can keep it unique. They can keep it tight and right. And hey, you got to be ready with that credit card at high noon when that registry opens up. The next one at Susquehanna River, I think that one's already sold out up in Pennsylvania. That'll be a good time. Some people did really well. And for myself, others did really, really well compared to, relatively speaking, how they normally perform in the Hobie Bass Open Series. And I'm really glad that I changed my profile pic to Batman holding a bomb above his head. You've seen the original Batman movie, which was actually intended for a Japanese audience and not an American audience. Did you know that? But it did so well in Japan that they brought it to America, and the rest is history. But that's when he's got that big bomb and he's running around the pier on the San Francisco Bay there, it's a Santa Monica Pier. And he's just running around and there's like the little baby ducks and there's the two nuns. And he's just like, he's got that grimacing look on his face where he's saying, "Someday, Robin, you just can't get rid of a bomb." Oh my gosh. You know, you could not say that nowadays, right? Oh boy. When life was innocent. But anyway, I don't know why I did it. Well, I do know why I did it. My grandson actually changed my profile pic. And he went through all my pictures and saw Batman holding a bomb there. I don't know how I ended up with that one. I think I was making fun of something like, you know, or having fun with somebody after catching a big fish like you just caught the bomb or something. Who knows? How do you catch fish at this lake? Well, throw in a bomb. I think that might have been it. So I sent that little picture. But I had it buried. He found it. And he said, let's make this your profile pic. But it worked out great. Because when you're interested in looking up the standings or possibly where you are at, normally I don't do that because I'm really doing awful in the tournaments. I don't care. It's obvious how I'm doing. This was the first time, and in such a big tournament, really a national event, that I was doing so well. I wanted to know where I was at. And it was helpful having the profile pic of Batman holding the bomb because I could easily see where I was. I could scan through there real fast and pick that up. So I advise that. Because all of our pictures of us holding up bass in our Tourney X profile pic looks exactly like the next guy holding up a bass. We tend to all look alike.
when we're holding a fish in front of our face and that picture's about the size of a dime, you're looking at it like, what? So change up your profile pic if you're interested in seeing. Just put something goofy there. That's obvious that it's you. And it would be, it was so easy for me to do that. The first day I only had four. I finished out in 112th place, which I was, after the first day and up against, you know, the anglers that were there. I mean, I could go on with a list of the tremendous anglers that are in the Hobie Bass Open Series consistently. And then there's always a few stragglers, people getting in there for the first time, others like me who have been there before but are really no threat. And so, finishing in 112th was awesome. I'm like, I'm good. I'm good. If there was 20 of us, I'd be 12th place. I'm good with that. But the next morning, and I'll tell you how I did that technique here momentarily. It didn't take much, believe me. It was just a matter of going to the local fishing tackle store and saying, hey, what do you do? I'm a schmuck. I'm from southwestern Ohio, right? I'll tell you that in a minute. But the next morning, when I returned back to what is now Strother Slough, we renamed it. You're just going to have to guess which one we were at. I'll give hints every once in a while. But Strother Slough, I went back, and that place was boiling. And with that same technique I used, within an hour, I had a limit. And I was catching a lot of fish in that first hour, but none of, you know, most of them were dinks, right under 12 inches. And then every once in a while, you'd get a little bit bigger one, a little bit bigger one. Now I started landing some 13s, you know, and putting them on board. But within an hour, first time in my life, I had a limit. And I was like, wow. So that's when I went to Tourney X just to see where I stood for the day. For that day. I didn't realize that they combined already day number one with day number two. So I started at 200 anglers and I started scanning down. 170, right? No, don't see Batman. 160, 150. Don't see Batman, 110. Don't see Batman, 90. Don't see Batman, 70. Don't see Batman. About 50, my heart started beating a little bit, but I thought, you know what? I'm probably one of the only few that within an hour have a limit. So it's no surprise to me that today, I may be doing, in today's day, the day number two. I may be like, who knows, in the top 10. Scan down, and there he is, Batman, holding the bomb at number 37. Boy, I screenshot that real fast. This may be the best I've ever done in a Hobie Bass Open Series. But I felt so confident at that point, like, all right, this is on. This could happen. I could get in the top 10, like on day number two. But then at that point, I realized they combined day number one already with day number two, and I am in 37th place overall. That's when my heart started really doing some weird stuff. Sounded like an old heaven root. Man, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm two-stroking it out right now. I can't believe it. I'm in 37th place, man. I went back to work immediately with this technique. Thank you, Tank, at Fishtails. Unbelievable. Little shout out to my sponsors right now. When I get back, I'm going to tell you all about that technique. And unfortunately, 37th place was the best I did in the Hobie Bass Open Series because I started going back up the charts. Falling back up. Not falling down, falling back up. One of the best times I've ever had in my life. I absolutely thank you so much, Hobie Bass Open Series. It was a lot of fun. Thank you so much, Lake Chickamauga. You did me right. I'll be right back with that technique.
there's no doubt that one of the best things you can do for yourself to mature as an angler, to get better, is to go into the local tackle shop wherever you are at and ask some advice. You'd be surprised at how many anglers out there are willing to help out. And they like to brag, and they like to show you what they burn it up on. So, hey, I'm not too proud to do that. And there's a technique you can use, okay? I don't know if you want to call it a technique, but you do present the question to them as a local angler a little bit better. And they are more receptive to it, I have found. If you go in there and you're kind of pretentious, you know, you're kind of puffing out your chest a little bit, and, you know, you're the top dog and you're in town, you know, there's a new sheriff in town kind of attitude. They could smell you out the moment you hit the door, right? They've seen dozens and dozens of anglers just like you. When they ask you, hey, is finding everything you need, you just kind of look at them and go, yeah, I'm good, man. They kind of, all right. However, if you walk in and you just make eye contact, say hi, boom, that's planting a seed right there. When they walk over to you and for service and say, hey, you finding everything you need, just come up with something random. Okay, just that you normally look for. Hey, do you guys got any real magic? I'm looking for some real magic. Yeah. So now the connection's made, right? They're doing their job. They feel good about it. They're going to make a little sale, right? You know, it all works out. You know, they know you're just going to buy that. I'd have to say this, like, talking about retail sales. They are interested in selling the product. Otherwise, the numbers don't get met. They don't pay the bills, okay? Just like everybody else. But they've got so much going on in the tackle shop that they are just content with having the opportunity to show you where the product's at. You're on your own at that point. Whatever you want, bring it to the cash register. If you need anything else, let us know, type of attitude. And they got plenty to do at a tackle shop in Cleveland, Tennessee, that's close to Lake Chickamauga. The place is just packed with stock. I'm like impressed the first time that I saw this place. Discovered it by chance. Where's the local tackle shop? Local tackle shop near me. Fish Tails. Oh, this is right up the street. Stroke Dog, let's go. Right, so boom, we get up there. Started walking around and met the gang there. Basically, so I had knew of them going back half a dozen times, but this time with kind of the same attitude. You walk in, hey, what's up, guys? You know, act like you know them, even if you don't. Hey, what's up? You know, heard about you guys. You know, make a connection some way, because with a connection like that, they really will just let loose of some information and tell you where to go, what type of technique you need to be using, okay? So, after pre-fishing, the day before, the first day of the Lake Chickamauga Hobie Bass Open Series, I go to Fishtails and I walk in and I say hi to Tank, appropriately named Tank, and Tank is the owner of Fishtails. And I say, Tank, from southwestern Ohio, I have never seen the surface explosions like I'm seeing out there. What do you do? What do you do? And Tank says, well, you throw a 5-inch Yamasenko, and it's got to be this color. And so he walks me over to the Yamamoto selection, which I often just bypass because I'm looking for my other go-tos. You know, I don't have the budget to experiment that much, you know, where you can just get random things. So the best thing for me to do is ask one of the local buddies here in the Cincinnati Kayak Fishing Group what they do. And they're, you know, even, I love all of them, but sometimes they hold off on some of that information a little bit too much, you know. Everybody wants to go for that big belt, Angler of the Year belt here in Cincinnati. So, and it's all good. It's fun. We all do it, fun and games. But unless you just bought somebody's electronic unit and they forgot to scrub all the info on it, that's about the only way you're going to get any information from the locals here. So a kayak angler coming from southwestern Ohio has no contender for a Lake Chickamauga local who knows that lake, right? This guy's not going to take all the big fish. Don't worry about it. Let's help this poor bastard out. It's probably what he was thinking. So he runs me over to the Gary Yamamoto selection and he pulls out the pumpkin with the black and green flake. And he gives me a pack and he says, "You'll be back for more." And I said, "Well, how do you rig this up?" He said, "Just put it on a weightless worm hook and throw it out there in the middle of it and let it slowly sink. And you will just be pulling fish up into your kayak." I'm like, "Really?" I said, "Tank, if this works, I'm gonna give you a big kiss." He said, "Well, it's gonna work." So I bought the pack. And the first day, I caught 7 fish. And I was pumped to be able to put 4 of those fish on the leaderboard. I was like, "This is awesome. Hey, it worked. I didn't get my limit, but others didn't get their limit." I felt pretty good at being up in that lineup at 112th place. I was like, "Yeah, this is cool." And I had a little bit more confidence in that second day. So, when I went back to Fishtails, I bought 2 packs of the 5-inch Yamasankos. Pumpkin with black and green flake. And you have to put those on the American tackle. At least this is what I did. The American Tackle Pro Staff Sharpenite hooks. You don't have to. But I'm telling you, there's a reason why I use those Sharpenite hooks. Because they stay surgically sharp. You can beat them up. You can use them over and over and they stay sharp. And there is absolutely, they're like rock solid. I love them. I use the 4-aught worm hook, weightless, with the 5-inch Yamasenko pumpkin with black and green. And as soon as one of those blow-ups would happen, and at times right next to the kayak, these blow-ups would happen right there, and you just throw that Yamasenko in there, and boom, that line's taken off. And it was set the hook. Oh my gosh, so amazing. So when I went back after the second day, I stopped and I walked into Fishtails and I looked around. I said, "Where's Tank?" And you see Tank stick his head out from around the corner. And I said, "Buddy, I'm a man of my word." I said, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "I'm here to give you a big kiss." And that place just stopped like, "What? Somebody said that to Tank?" And he said, "Oh, you ain't gonna give Tank a kiss." And his wife, wife goes, "Oh, I'd like to see that." Oh, thank you so much, Fishtails, for helping me out. Again, guys, the 5-inch Yamasenko pumpkin with black and green. The black and green and the pumpkin just showed itself tremendously in that somewhat green, murky water. Had about 1.5 feet to 2 foot visibility, but it just kind of had this like neon glow to it. And I could see
where the fish would really pick up on that. However, when I'm going to be right back. I'm going to tell you how I caught the biggest fish of the tournament for myself. And it really, at the end of the day, was the type of fish. It wasn't massive, but boy, it's Tennessee. And these fish fight you. And you start catching fish above 16 inches in Lake Chickamauga, you're in for a fight. And this one slammed it hard. I'll be right back.